Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show, the show that takes the mystery out of spirituality with your host, David Gagan, engineer, science director, scholarly researcher of life's mysteries, and author of The Endless Journey.
Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show. I'm host Dave Gagan, and this is a show where we talk about subjects which are critical to our happiness and spiritual evolution. Please note that all the chat room questions will be answered in the chat room on next week's show, as well as posted on my website, which is davidgagan.com, hopefully within a day or so of the show. When you visit the site, you can ask additional questions, even about other shows. You can also listen to any previous show on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com by searching for either David Gagan or Common Sense Spirituality. I've also launched a new podcast titled Aspects of Spirituality, which is on iHeartRadio. There I explain my worldview and what I have learned about the mysteries of life in short weekly podcasts. I hope you'll join me there. We all wear many hats in life. We are often a spouse, parent, child, relative, employer, employee, alumnus, coach, etc. The list goes on and on. Each role needs to be prioritized and time set aside to execute our commitments. Deciding how to balance all of our obligations is not just challenging. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. We all have great value to others, but we need to realize we have great value to ourselves as well. We need to see ourselves as an incredible being we really are, and give ourselves compassion we deserve. Today's show is titled Self-Worth. Our guest is Cynthia James, author of Choosing Me. Ms. James is a transformational specialist, coach, speaker, and award-winning author of What Will Set You Free and Revealing Your Extraordinary Essence. Cynthia James. Welcome to the show, Cynthia.
Oh, thank you, David. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Tell me, you wrote a book. You wrote several books, but you wrote one book called Choosing Me. Why did you write that book?
Actually, it's I Choose Me, and I wrote it because a lot of my clients are women. They're entrepreneurs, they're parents, they're people who are wanting to make a difference in the world and be more connected to their essence, and they struggle with it because we've been conditioned to put others first and to feel guilty if we don't. And so because that had been my own journey and because I've coached so many people through that process, I thought it would be great to create a book for them, anybody who's looking to understand that choosing them is a choice of health and vitality.
Okay. Now there's a lot of entities out there that are trying to change us to form, you know, for us to fit into what they're looking for. How do we stay true to ourselves? How do we not get sucked into the strongest urge out there, the strongest party, if you will, like your employer or maybe your spouse or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's getting to know us first. I think it's really getting to understand who are we, what do we like, what do we want, what supports us, you know, what supports our health and well-being. I know for me, because I grew up in a very challenging childhood, you know, for me, it was all about survival. So whatever anybody in my life needed in a moment, I was going to change to be that for my own safety and security. And at one point, I had to get to a point where I said, well, wait a minute, who am I? What supports me? What enlivens me? What am I passionate about? And then put my attention there and saying no to anything that didn't help me thrive.
So it's really setting your priorities and realizing your importance and how you can help others, but you can't help everybody.
That's exactly right.
You have to help the ones that you decide need your attention and care.
Exactly. And in the book, you know, it's broken down into three sections, you know, home, work life, and inner life. And in the home life, I talk about parenting because our children really don't listen to what we say. They listen to what we do. And so if we are not modeling healthy choices, if we're not modeling self-care and self-love, then they learn that. And so what I feel is that the concept is that really by doing for others, you know, you're making the world a better place. But I'd like to flip it for people and say, by doing for yourself first, you raise the vibration of your family, your work environment, your neighborhood, and your community, because you are now modeling high vibrational living.
Yeah. Talk about affirmations. You know, you mentioned that in the book. I thought that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, affirmations are just statements affirming what we are desiring, and they're not always true at the moment that we speak them, but there's very incredible energy about voicing something. For instance, if you are wanting to be a successful entrepreneur, beginning to make the statement, I am a successful entrepreneur, you know, I am fulfilled in my work and of great service to others. Those kinds of statements have an incredible energy to them. And it's almost as if your DNA begins to align with that energy, and then it goes out and attracts itself into form.
So with the affirmations, we're convincing ourselves that, or maybe we're telling ourselves that this is how I want to be. This is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And then ourself is able to say, oh, okay, I get it. Because if we have all these negative thoughts, and if we think about, oh, I'm a failure at this and that, and then ourself thinks, oh, they must want to be a failure at that, so we'll be a failure at that. But if we say, you know, I need to succeed at this, or I want to succeed at this, or I'm going to succeed at this, then our self says, all right, he wants to succeed. Well, let's put all of our effort into succeeding.
Right. And, you know, you're a scientist. So, you know, our neuropath, you know, become like little trenches. And so affirmations can support to shift those neuropaths and connect to what we're feeling and thinking, so that we start to create a different reality than we're living in the moment.
Yeah, I'm a great believer that we truly create our own reality, and we have this huge capability within us. You call it the soul or whatever, that is simply trying to do what we want to do. And if it, and sometimes we can send it confusing signals, and if we send it confusing signals, then it's like, it's not going to necessarily do what we want. So I really like your affirmations. I think that's really an important approach that a lot of people overlook, quite frankly.
Right. Well, I think we're not taught.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. You talk about a mirror technique. How does that go along with your affirmations?
Well, a mirror technique is, well, first of all, you know, especially in relationships of any kind, really, they're mirroring back to us who we are, where we need to grow. And so when there's a challenge, one of the things, because I do work with couples sometimes, is I have them move into a mirror exercise where we are not just trying to talk over one another, we are actually listening to what the other person's saying and then mirroring back to them what we thought we heard. And sometimes that's correct and sometimes it's way off. And so what it begins to do then, it creates a respectful way of communicating. It works in business. It works with our children. It works in intimate relationships, because what you are doing is you are really setting an intention to understand what the other person is saying, so that you can respond in a conscious, respectful way.
Yeah. The other thing you mentioned in the book, in communications, that kind of goes along with this in relationships, is you need to communicate your needs as well. Mm-hmm. And that, I guess that's the other half of it. One, you have to understand what the other person needs, but then you have to understand what you need. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
You know, that's a big thing. I mean, it happens a lot with my clients, and I recently had a client who there was a difficulty going on in a relationship that they had, and so they were, you know, putting all their attention on supporting the other person and what was going on with them, and the resentment within this client was rising. And so we had the conversation of, why aren't you asking for what you need? Why aren't you expressing what's happening with you? Because you're not giving the other person the opportunity to be in real relationship with you if you're just kind of skirting how you feel because you're afraid there might be a blow up or there might be some discontent. And so what I feel is that you have to do that. If you're going to build trust in a relationship, no matter what kind of relationship it is, you have to be willing to risk a little bit to say what you need and what you feel and what you want so that you can get to common ground.
Yeah, I think that is important. It's communication is probably the biggest problem we've got in life. I know when I was in business, trying to get other people to communicate to me and me to communicate to them was clearly the biggest problem that we had throughout every organization that I was in. And I think a lot of it goes back to understanding what we want from a relationship. And I think sometimes we don't know what we want. And if we think it through and understand it ourselves, and then express it to someone else, we have a lot of better chance of it actually taking place.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. But I also think a lot of times what happens is people are afraid of losing. They're afraid of losing relationships or jobs or whatever. And so they start to monitor what they're wanting to say or feel and dumb it down because that fear takes precedent. And so what I think that does, though, is that energy enters that field, whatever that field is, relationship or work, and then it begins to color the ways in which we relate to each other. And I think, for me, I feel like trust grows when people are authentic with me, when people are honest with me.
I would agree with you 100%. And that's part of guessing what the other person wants, isn't it?
Yes. You know,
they don't tell us and we don't tell them, and all of a sudden we've got ourselves in a strange position. You know, one of the things that you mentioned in there, you know, everybody talks about soulmates. Uh-huh. And I liked what you said. It said that that you say that your soulmate, certainly one of them, is yourself.
Right.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I really think that we're seeking ourselves. That's the soulmate. And so it's really becoming the who you've come here to be and the remembering of that. So I had gone through a very, very challenging divorce. And what I realized is that the level of the challenge was really kind of mirroring some other challenges I had had throughout life in relationships. And so I thought, well, I'm the common denominator here. Perhaps I should do some work on me. And so I went on hiatus from dating. And I said, who am I and what do I want? What do I like? And so what started happening was I started to become what I wanted. And so my husband today, we've been together 21 years, and I'm 100% clear that he came because I had fallen in love with myself.
Isn't that interesting? It was the self-confidence that you were able to generate within yourself, create within yourself. You think that what maybe made you more attractive or what?
Well, I think it was self-confidence, but it was also self-love. You know, it was, in other relationships, I hadn't been willing to show up fully, to speak my truth, to bring my gifts fully to the relationship because I wanted to be loved and approved of and validated. And so at this point in my life, that was not what I was looking for. So my husband, you know, was a man who had done similar work. So we were kind of meeting each other in the same place. Not that we didn't have stuff to work through in relationship, but but I never had to hide or pull back my energy or be something I wasn't to make him happy, and nor did he have to do that. And so we got to really be with each other and grow with each other by being willing to be authentic.
Yeah, yeah. The you talk about, you know, you talk about change, and it's our attitude that is important in a lot of our relationships and changing. Talk about that a little bit.
You know, really, I really believe that, you know, everything is sort of energy and information, and our energy, where we are mentally, you know, emotionally, spiritually, you know, it precedes us. It enters a room before we do, or as we do, which is why you can be across a room and somebody can enter and you just really want to know that person, or somebody can enter that room and you're like, oh, I don't like that energy. And so I think that attitude that we have, how we look at life, how we perceive things, you know, moves with us wherever we go. So it's important to monitor your thoughts and to, you know, monitor your self-talk and to really be clear about what energy are you bringing into any environment. You know, before I speak or do a talk show like this or facilitate a workshop, I always do some sort of centering and meditation so that I'm bringing my best self to the place.
Yeah, that's good. How do you think we sense their energy? Do you think I guess we are energy, and there's an aura around us, and there's an aura around them, and when we bump into each other, if they don't mesh or if they do mesh, you can feel it.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you think about it, when you go and you hear a speaker or you sit in a class or you look at a television show, especially something that's live, and we're watching a lot of live stuff on TV today, it's like you get to see and feel and sense into where that person is really living. I used to be an actress, and one of my great teachers would have us do a scene and then turn off the sound. And then we would watch the scene without the sound. And you could see instantly inauthentic moments. You could see when the actor was working too hard. You could see when they weren't telling the truth as the character. I mean, it was incredible. And that was my first inkling at going, oh, really, we are energy. And what people perceive is not necessarily what we're saying, but the energy we're transmitting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I never thought about doing it that way. That would be interesting to get another feel of somebody when you shut off the audio.
Yeah, and I've done that. I know when I'm looking at politic things or news things or you know, certain shows, I'll just turn the sound down and go, oh, that's interesting. You know, that doesn't resonate with me.
Well, you know, turning down the sound with our present political situation is probably a really good idea. you mentioned visionary contemplations. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I really think that vision is a very powerful thing that pulls us forward. You know, because we have a vision, and some people call it a dream, but I think a vision is a bigger umbrella. We have a vision of anything before we move it into form. And so if you are, and I'll just use myself as an example, because I worked in corporate America and I worked for a large spiritual organization. And when I decided I was going to go out on my own and create my own company, you know, that vision was powerful, but I didn't necessarily, I wasn't clear about what that looked like. So what I did was I moved that into meditation and contemplation, and I began to ask, really, the universe, you know, what's the highest vision for this work I want to create? You know, who must I become to do that? You know, and what's the highest service that I can offer? And I did that in meditation and for several months. And what started to happen in the journaling was I started to see the form and who I wanted to serve and how I wanted to show up in the world. And so I do that with my clients today. You know, we do visionary contemplation on, you know, what is it they want to create? How do they want to transition from this place to this place? And we do that as we're creating structure for them.
Now, do you do this? You know, companies do this all the time. They put a mission statement together and, you know, what the vision of themselves. And and all too often, they just want to make money. And that's not a real good plan. But if they're honest about themselves, they can they put together this vision. Now, do you are you recommending that people put together the vision for themselves as well?
Absolutely.
In other words, okay. And so if you want to change yourself, if you want to become something else, it's a huge help to your progress by knowing what that is. And that's what you're talking about, a vision, right?
Yes. And one of the things I ask my clients to do three questions. Who am I? You know, which is really kind of an esoteric question. But the second question is, who am I currently? And the third question is, who do I want to become? And they, because sometimes where they are is really, it looks like impossible to get to where they want to become. But when you start getting that clarity, then you start putting more attention and energy towards who am I becoming, as opposed to what is the current reality that may or may not be supportive of my life.
Yeah. You know, I found that you don't need to have the ultimate answer in front of you. You need to have the next step. You need to, you don't have to get it right in, you know, for this is the ultimate life is where I want to be in 30 years or 40 years. What you really need to know is how do I take myself from here to something else, to right. something better? And then if, when you get there or get close to it or make progress or take a step in that direction, you might see that, oh boy, you know, I see even a bigger vision of me or a different vision of me, and then you can change. But what you need is a direction.
And a strong intention.
Yes, absolutely. You need the will to go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, you know, it's hard for us, because what happens, I think, that stops a lot of people is they've got this vision, you know, I want to open my own company and over here, but I'm working this 9-to-5 job that I don't like. And so they don't understand those little steps at a time. So they keep looking at way out there, this company I want to create, and it seems impossible and overwhelming. And so instead of just setting the intention and going, what are my steps today? What do I need to do today? And what are my next steps to move me towards that goal? And there's a whole section in my book on what I call being a parallelpreneur. You know, it's like, what steps do you take so you're not trying to eat the whole, you know, cake in one bite?
Yeah, I can relate to that. When I was in business, I the last piece of the business anyway, I started out and I had no sales and no employees and no nothing. And the first step was to try to figure out, well, what kind of product are we going to sell? You got to make a product and you got to sell it. And I eventually got it to the point that we had $1 billion in sales, but that's, I could have never done that. I couldn't have had that vision to begin with. The vision had to be the next step. Let's just get it off the ground and not worry about where we're going, because where you go is really, you know, what you want to do and how it all falls together. And so you need to act. And I think one of the things that you said that I really liked was one of the most difficult decisions to make is to act. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I think it was Amelia Earhart that said, you know, that really it's about tenacity. You know, there are so many people that are talking about what they want to do and how they want to change things and what they want to look like, but there's no sense of their self-responsibility for taking action and continuing to take action, because, you know, this company that you built, didn't go to where it went to because you decided what the product was. It was that you decided what the product was, and you consistently put energy towards that to be in service to others. And so you can't just have the thought start the process and then stop. You have to continue to take action every day to make it better. I tell people who want to write, you know, well, are you writing? Are you writing every day? So that you can create energy and synergy in that gift called being an author.
Yeah, the beauty of acting is that you have to monitor what happens when you act. But even if you take the step in the absolutely wrong direction, mm-hmm. sooner or later you recognize that, and you turn around and go the other way. But if you just stand there frozen, nothing ever happens.
Right. You know, they tell you, because I used to do theater too, and they would tell you that if in the moment your mind goes blank or whatever, which happens to any of us, that that you keep moving in the field, you know, on the stage, in that scene, and it comes back in one form or another. And so that movement is extraordinarily important.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk about a possibility plan. Explain that.
Well, you know, when I was starting this business, and I said, okay, first of all, what do I want to do? And I wanted to create value and be in service to people and to help them awaken to what they've come here to do. And so in quantum physics, they say that the quantum field is a field of possibilities. And so there's a lot of possibilities. So what I did was I looked at what are the possibilities, the things I want to create in this moment. You know, I wanted to coach people personally, and I wanted to speak more, and I wanted to write more. So I looked at what are the possibilities in those three areas, and I created a plan around them. You know, what do I want this next quarter to look like? The next quarter for the next year? Well, you know, how do I want to create income in those areas? You know, because I have to live. And so I created a possibility plan. All of it didn't come into fruition, but a lot of it did, because I put my attention on those things inside of the plan.
Yeah, that's good. You talk about needing to if you want to love what you're doing, you need a certain clarity and focus. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, so I love people. I love being with people. I love talking with people. I love supporting people. And that's a passion. So for me, it's like getting clear about what you're passionate about. What are your passion points? And then putting your energy there. So for me, and for anybody that I coach, it's like, okay, so what are you passionate about? And then what are you going to do every day to feed that, so that it amplifies in your life? And I think a lot of times we have these wonderful dreams, but, you know, it goes back to that action thing. You know, we don't want to take the action, or we don't feel we have the tools, or whatever, tape is running. So for me, it's like really putting your attention on what you love and focusing it there. And then anything that you put attention on will grow.
Do you think we have a pre-life plan? Do you think we come down here with a specific purpose to do something?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I feel like we have a divine design. You know, like I came here to be a teacher. I mean, I know that. But I do have free will. So I get to choose, you know, and I think that's where people get confused. I mean, you know, I came here to do this, and yet there are always distractions that are around us. And if you go down a certain road, you can bump up against things that don't support that the gifts that you have to deliver. But you're always a choice to get back on the path. So I think we've all come here with I tell people the purpose for your life is instilled within you. You know, it's encoded within you. But you have the responsibility to bring it to form.
Right. We have an option. We come down with a plan, that we set up and agree to, is my belief, before we get here. But then when we get here, of course, we have this veil of forgetfulness that we are all wearing here. And we also have free will. So yes, we can choose to follow that life plan, and we can choose, or we can choose to go another way. I would suggest that there is no such thing with a life plan to be a terrorist.
Right.
I think somebody had a little free will in there, and they and they lost their way. But then the question people will have is, well, well, how do I know what my plan is? And I think going back to your statement of following what you love to do is a good way to get on track and be in line with your plan. Would you agree with that?
100%. And here's the other thing, Dave. I feel like people have to understand that we're evolutionary. We're evolving. We're not the same way we are, you know, as a sixth grader and a senior and then, a graduate from college. You know, we're evolving. And so being in touch with your passion, you know, also you understand that you're not going to operate or make the same choices today that you made 15 years ago because you're different. And so your passion and the way in which you deliver it can expand.
I agree. And that's really what life is all about. It's learning from the lessons. And you know, it's interesting. We have these lessons that we're supposed to learn. And if we screw them up, we'll get another opportunity to learn that lesson.
Right.
I think those are the greatest opportunities.
Those are the greatest learning lessons.
See, I agree with you, because those are the biggies, aren't they? You know, if we have this little lesson and we screw it up, well, then everybody, you know, everything goes away. But these lessons that keep coming back and coming back, and you know, and when you get to my age, and you've clearly had a lot of life experiences, you can start looking back and you can see patterns. And those patterns are the big things in life. And if you look at the patterns, you look at the times in your life where you had the most emotion involved, and that those emotions, whether they're positive or negative, but most of them are negative as you look back and try to see your patterns if they continue to reappear. Those are the big things that we're working on. And I think the beauty of it all is we get another chance, and we keep getting chances. You know, the universe is a great teacher, and it will teach us right from wrong. We may be stubborn with our free will and take a while to get it, but it'll always teach us and will always come out good in the end. And I find it very interesting looking back at my life, and I suspect you've done that too. And you look back in chunks of time and you say, okay, here was a time that, man, you know, life was really strange. And then you look a decade later and you say, well, you know, that's pretty similar to that last thing. And then you look at another decade later and you find you have another situation. Have you done that?
Oh, you know, ad nauseum. You know, but here's the incredible thing. It's like there are parallel paths. You get to look back and see those things where you keep creating the same patterns, but then you also get to go, oh, look at how I've changed. That I used to respond this way and now I do it differently. Because it's all about you. It's all about your choices and what you decide to do. And I feel like the universe will just sit there and wait until you get tired of bumping into the wall. And go, oh, well, I'm gonna go around the wall this time, and I'm gonna choose differently, and I'm gonna choose to be more conscious and awake. And so I feel like sometimes I look at myself today and I think, wow, you know, I don't remember when the switch flipped, but it did, because I haven't done that particular pattern, you know, in the last 5 years, you know, something I had done, you know, for decades before. So I just think it's really, but I think you have to be willing to look, You have to be willing to look and go, oh, okay, I keep making the same choice thinking there's going to be a different reality and that's not working. Maybe I should make a different choice.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And we don't. I mean, you know, you can understand where people just get tied up. We run busy lives and you know, everybody and they, you know, and life just kind of carries us if we're not careful. If we don't stop and think about it and look at where we're going, we can get carried away pretty easily. Right. And I think, you know, your book, I think, is a really good way for somebody to look at it and then start seeing themselves in that situation and realize that, hey, wait a minute, there may be another way to approach these problems that I've been struggling with. And you know, and maybe I can get some different results if I just see the pattern and look at it a little differently.
Well, yeah, and you have to be willing to be a little uncomfortable. You know, I think one of the problems with people changing is they want to change mentally, but then the discomfort of what that looks like, whether it's changing relationships or jobs or what or choices that they're making, I think you have to understand that change is not a comfortable thing. It's a change. And so when you decide to change, you have to be willing to go through that phase of discomfort. And I think that's where people get stuck, because even though where they are feels uncomfortable, it's still familiar. And where they're wanting to go is unfamiliar, and that's scary.
I think you're right. And if you look at the universe, you can see that nothing is. Everything is becoming. Everything is changing. Everything. Whether it's a plant outside or a tree or a child or a spirit, everything is changing. That's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you hearing a little bit of fuzzy sound?
No, I'm hearing you very clearly. Are you getting fuzzy from me?
A little bit. In the little chat box, it says move a little bit or move a bit. I don't know what that means.
Okay. All right. Tell me, how important is having a mentor?
Oh, huge, huge. You know what? We can only, when we try to do everything ourselves, we operate from the field in which we're living. We're in the space in which we're living. A mentor brings you another perspective. A mentor calls you into accountability. A mentor invites you to play bigger than you think you can, to stretch. A mentor says, I see you and I believe in you, even in the moments you don't believe in yourself and can't see yourself. So I think a mentor is incredible. I mean, I've had several mentors in my life and several coaches, and I'm so extraordinarily grateful because there were moments when they were asking me to do things that I was terrified to do or didn't think I had the capability to do, and they saw me. And just that little action gave me energy to move forward, even though I might have been afraid in the moment.
Okay, so they provided a support. How about a team? You know, do you have a team that you work with?
I do, and you know, I talk about that a lot in the book because I learned a lot of lessons the hard way on building a team. You know, I mean. You know, because a team has to be a combination of, you know, synergy with the other people, but also skill sets that support the vision and the work that you're doing. And because I'm a charismatic person, people were, you know, drawn to me and wanted to work with me and support me. But they, so that was great. There was this great synergy, but they didn't have the skill set, you know. Or I thought, well, because I don't, you know, I don't want to pay as much, you know, because I'm trying to manage my finances, I would hire someone that was less expensive, but they couldn't catch the vision or work with the same kind of work ethic that I had. And so I really had to get clear about, you know, what is it, that, who is it that I want on this team? What kind of values do they have? Do they connect with my values? What kind of work ethic do they have? And what's their skill set that's going to move the company forward? And, you know, it was an interesting first couple of years doing that because I wasn't skilled at it. I had been in corporate and I would hire people based on, but there was always a criteria and there was always this thing and this is how it worked. But for me, I had to get my emotional self out of the way and get into what is going to support the business in growing.
Do you use your intuition a lot?
Yes. A great deal. You know, I think we're all highly intuitive, and I think that we haven't been taught to tap into it. But, you know, because sometimes your intuition will be telling you something that looks counterintuitive. But I have learned to trust that. You know, I've learned to, I'll give you an example. I train coaches in my work, and there was a woman that came into the program, and she just seemed perfect, and she started going through the program, and then these kind of red flags started coming up, and I'm like, what is this? And so we had this conversation, and I kept saying, you know, this doesn't feel like a yes to me, and I can't explain to you why, because there's nothing in the ways in which your skill set or anything, but it just doesn't feel like a yes. And so we put her training on hold, and I got an email from her a couple of weeks ago that said, thank you so much for putting this on hold, because I realized I wasn't ready. And she began to share with me a series of events that had happened that she hadn't talked about, and some of them hadn't even come into form yet, that were energy blocks for her doing this work. And so we decided that we would wait until she had time to do some clearing work, you know, to come back and have another conversation. But, you know, one of my partners was saying to me, Well, what's wrong with her? And I'm like, I don't know. It's not a yes.
Hmm. How about personal responsibility? How does that play in?
Oh, I just think it's ultimate. You know, there's a lot of desire to look outside ourselves for validation, for support, for, you know, making changes, and we forget that we're really the ones we're looking for. So we really have to be responsible for our choices, how we speak, you know, how we act, how we show up. When I was getting ready to leave my corporate job, I said to myself, I want to leave this job in integrity. So I have to make sure that I still show up 100% every day for this job, even though I know I'm creating something else, because that is how I want to live in the world. And so the question I ask every client I have is, you know, are you being responsible for yourself? And are you acting and thinking and presenting the way in which you want to receive in the world? If you're not, you know, you got to go back to the start with yourself. What are you doing to take care of yourself? You know, you can't get healthy if you don't make healthy choices. You can't be successful if you're not making choices for your success.
Yeah, I like also the way you say, don't let your past define you.
Yes. Yeah, you know, you know, David, if I had just leaned on where I came from, I would not be doing what I'm doing today. I mean, there was sexual molestation, there was a lot of violence, there was alcoholism, there was, you know, I mean, there was chaos, and five generations of women that had been abused and traumatized, you know, and the pattern kept going. So if I had let that energy define who I am today, I would never have taken any risks. I wouldn't have gone to school. I wouldn't have decided to make my life better for me and for my children. And I think a lot of times people are blaming their parents and their past, and it's not like that stuff didn't happen, and it's not like it didn't have impact. But what are you going to choose today? What are you going to choose to make your life stronger and more expansive and to be in service to yourself and to others? Because that's, you know, I really believe that's why we're here. We're here to support ourselves, but to support and honor each other, because we're connected.
We are connected. We're all part of one. And, you know, and it's interesting, you know, the journalists say, you know, the questions, they all have to, they run around and say, okay, when I get a story, I have to look at who, what, where, how much. But the real question is why? Why do we do what we do? Mm-hmm. We need to ask ourselves, because that's the ultimate question for our actions, for what we do. It's the why.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's Simon Sinek who has this whole thing around that. It's like how you build your life is getting to the why first, or how you build your business. And I think, you know, ultimately we're not here to make money or buy a house or have the greatest looking car. You know, why are we here? And I'm so clear in my soul that I am here to connect with people and to support them in bringing forth their gifts, that everything I do gets weighed against that. Is that going to support why I'm here?
Yeah. How does somebody define if they're successful? What's you know, what is success?
I think feeling fulfilled. I think it's feeling at peace. I think it is really lovely to make money, and because I think money supports us in doing other things. You know, I mean, I have a foundation that I do things with, but I really think it's feeling fulfilled and feeling joyous and in harmony and connected and loved.
I think you're right. I think happiness and that doesn't come from money. Obviously, if you have none, you can be pretty unhappy. But you can have a ton and be pretty unhappy too.
Exactly.
You really just need enough to meet your needs, and then it's other things. It's understanding who you are and recognizing the magnificent essence you have within you, and when you do that, you know, all of a sudden you realize that you're an amazing person, and everybody is an amazing person, and that's really the key, that people recognize their self-worth, who they are, and the incredible future that they have in front of them, and the incredible capability that everybody has. It's an amazing world, and I think your book is I Choose Me is a really good start for people who are looking for trying to understand who they are and looking to change their life a little bit. Tell me, how can people find out what you're doing and get in touch with you?
So my website is cynthiajames.net, and the book is on Amazon, or you can just go to the website. There's a lot of gifts there and a lot of things to support people in moving forward. And I feel like the website, we actually are creating a new website, but I think the website has a lot of offerings for people to support them wherever they are to start to make new choices.
Cynthia, thank you very much for being with us. Cynthia James, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, David.
Obtaining wisdom is a long process, as no one can bestow it on us. The more we talk and hear each other's ideas, the more we'll be able to mature our own views. Questions and answers from the chat room for today's shows and other show will be posted on the website at davidgagan.com. You can ask other questions directly by going to the contact section of my website, and I'll publish those answers as well. Also, I cover all these subjects and many more in my book, The Endless Journey. I look forward to sharing our thoughts every Friday morning at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time here on W4CY.com. You can also find all the old episodes on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com. Truth is indeed stranger than fiction, and it turns out to be an amazingly good news story. We all have a great destiny ahead of us. Let me leave you with one last thought. You're a unique spirit having a life experience. You are far more important in the grander scheme of things than you can possibly realize. Enjoy your life. You've earned it.